Go ahead and do, if you would, take, there's some Bibles, there should be around or close to you if you don't have your own, and turn to page 809. That's in the New Testament. They'll be on the screen, the scripture verses as well, but might be just as good to look at it and flip back and forth with me if you would. So let's pray. Lord, what we ask at this time, whether we're here inside of this place or whether we're at home or maybe on vacation or traveling, what we pray, God, is that in the speaking and the hearing that the gospel comes. And what we pray is for your Holy Spirit. There's nothing inside of us that can generate the gospel. The gospel belongs to Jesus Christ. And so we pray for how your Holy Spirit takes his life, his death, and resurrection, and makes application inside of our own life so that we experience the same. And so we want to be open to that this morning in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, in a way that even if it is to the smallest of degree, and sometimes we can't see the change that takes place, we can't see the degrees of transformation, sometimes we need time, and then when we look back, we can see what you've done and how you've moved and created things inside of us and how you've changed us. So we want to participate with that. We want to willingly be open to that this morning and allow everything that's happened thus far, the singing, the praying, and then now also in the engaging of the text. So guide us, oh God, we pray, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Now, over these last 6 weeks or so, I've focused, and of course, with me being the one that's doing the preaching, then you focused as well, on this central concept of being the difference in our community. That there's something about our life that where we can't control another person, but we can control our own life, and by controlling our own life, then when we leave this place, we're a witness. We're a witness for Jesus to other people. And this is not something that I've come up with. This is something that Jesus talked about repeatedly in the Gospels. If you want specific texts or concepts, think about when Jesus talked about that he is divine and we are the branches. And that's the idea, is that we experience Christ and then we leave here, we're reflections of that experience. And over these last 6 weeks, we've looked at that. And some weeks we took a deeper dive into how we can be a difference for our community, mainly through our relationships. And particularly when those relationships are either stressed or when our relationships, there's difficulty in our relationships. And the way that the gospel talked about this, at least with Jesus, is this idea of when we are insulted, or when our expectation or maybe another expectations don't line up, or frankly, when it's hard to love another person. We know that we're commanded and called to love another person. It's not something that's debatable. This is something that Jesus asks and basically commands us to do. And so there are going to be times when that's easy, and then there are going to be times when it's very difficult. And then last week, the deeper dive dealt with forgiveness. It's one way to talk about forgiveness and know that that's something that's required of us. It's something completely different to live a life of forgiveness, where we forgive ourselves, where we forgive another person. And what I've always wanted to do whenever we talk about something in the Bible is not just talk about what it says, but what is it like to make application? What does that feel like? What does that look like? And so last week we looked at what does forgiveness feel like, to be able to forgive another person. And so today, what I want to do is I want to take this entire focus over these last 6 weeks or so, and I want to bring it to a close. And the passage that I want us to look at is Matthew chapter 5. It's verses 13 and 16. Now, this is a passage that I'm sure that you've heard, maybe a passage that you've read repeatedly. And you can follow on the Bible. Again, now this is 810, all right, page 810, or you can look up on the screen. This is Jesus at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, this is the idea of what I've been preaching over these last few weeks, this idea that we are to be salt and we are to be light. But to understand the impact of these verses, in order to really understand it, you actually have to go back a page, page 809, to the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is where Jesus is preaching on the side of a hill. Some of you have seen the place that where we believe Jesus preached this because of the way that the geography lays out. It's on this certain side of the Sea of Galilee. And it's a part of what we call the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes read this way. So this is picking up in verse 3, same chapter. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons or daughters of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then blessed are you, it goes on, when you are reviled and when people mistreat you. And the idea is that Jesus gives insight into what it's like to be his follower. That's the Beatitudes. Now, if we just read the Beatitudes, it's easy to draw a conclusion that what we do then is we create a world, or we create this area where we're walled off from everybody else. And maybe the best way to explain what can happen when we read the Beatitudes is I'm not much on zombie movies. Now I need to get Scott Phillips. He's our resident movie critic up here. He probably could list all the zombie movies over the last probably 30, 40 years. My family likes zombie movies. All right, it's not attractive at all to me. But in every zombie movie, it's the same thing. All the people that are healthy put up a wall, and they live over here in the wall, and everybody else has been affected, and who are zombies or depraved or whatever it may be, they live outside of the wall. And then in the movies, at some point, they're going to get inside the wall, and you got to figure out how to make it. But it's easy for Christians, followers of Christ, to adopt a similar philosophy. We're the holy ones. We're the ones that have received Jesus. We're the ones that God is working his salvation in us. And so we live over here, and we put up this wall, whether it's a physical wall or not, it doesn't matter. And then everybody outside, well, they just have to fend for themselves. And if we just stopped at the Beatitudes, it's easy to draw that conclusion. We're this type of people, you know, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. It's about 9 or 10 of them. That's our life over here. And then everybody else, well, they just have to fend for themselves. Until you get to the first passage that we read, you are salt and light, which means it's the opposite of every zombie movie you've seen. We don't live behind the wall. Our job is to move outside the wall and to engage the people that are around us. And the way you do that, salt and light. Whether you know this or not, you are actually agents of redemption. So that everywhere you go, you are a witness for what you've experienced. We are responsible to, not responsible for. But we are responsible. And the idea is that we have experienced Christ, and so then what we are, we're responsible to the mission to be salt and light. And you're not responsible for what another person does with it, with that witness or with the gospel, but we are responsible to the mission where we are agents of redemption. So out of my own free will, and out of your own free will, you choose to orchestrate your life in such a way so that when you go outside of the wall, people see Jesus living in you. Salt and light. Now, when we don't do that, we lose our saltiness. That's what the text talked about. Verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. Now, it is scientifically possible for salt to lose its saltiness. But and there's some people that want to read this passage and think this has to do with eternity. It does not. What it has to do with is that if you were to take all types of other substances and then add it to salt, then it no longer has the ability to be a preservative. It loses its ability for its purpose. It's no longer salty. It's salt mixed with everything else. If you don't think so, today when you go to lunch or go to brunch, whatever, even breakfast if you're a late eater, and you take a little bit of salt, sprinkle it on your food, and then I want you on your way to the car to pick up a bunch of dirt and some other stuff, and I want you to mix it with the salt and then sprinkle that on your food and see what it tastes like. That's the concept in the text. It's like the ability for us to be a preservative to the world. We lose that because now there's all these other substances that have been mixed in as well. But when we leave the church, or when you leave your house, you leave as one who goes out into the world to be an agent of redemption, to be a reflective of the gospel that you have received. If you need another image, think of everywhere that your foot steps, you leave a footprint of the gospel. And so when you leave this place, everywhere that you go, you are the representative of Christ for another person. As scary as that may be, this is who you are. You have experienced this gospel, and so we with the Holy Spirit want the character of the Beatitudes, but we don't keep that to ourselves and where we're behind this wall. The idea is we go out into it, and then everywhere that we go, we reflect this Jesus that we have experienced. You're the light of the world, which means you're a follower of this light. Light by nature is to do what? Shine. Not with self-righteousness. That's not what the text is talking about, where you put yourself on a hill or on a pedestal and say, oh, yep, there I am. No, that's not it. But you still shine nonetheless. You are to be salt. You are to be light. And so we live out this beatitude life for another person to see, and that becomes the difference for them, so that then they engage this same Jesus that we have experienced. The way Mother Teresa said it, she goes, I go of my own free choice. With the blessing of obedience, we must never be afraid to be a sign of contradiction for the world. And she's right. Because if you live this life that Jesus is describing in Matthew chapter 5, you're going to be a sign of contradiction to those that are around. Because what Jesus asked you to do is follow him in a world outside of the walls. Well, by nature, his nature, you're going to be different than those around. It's going to show up in your job. It's going to show up in your family. It's going to show up in your relationships. Again, everywhere your foot steps, you leave a footprint of the gospel. So how do we do that? I mean, what does this look like if this is applied to our life, to be the difference for other people? I'm going to give you three things just to consider. The first one is this: sacrificial giving. And the idea is, don't think of it just in terms of your money or your resources. It is so larger than that. It's how you give your life in sacrificial ways outside of the walls to help another person. And it can be just a single person. It could be another family. It could be tied to another organization. For about the last, I think it's been maybe about a month now, I've been thinking about David Varner. Yep, I think many, if not everybody in here, knew David Varner. We celebrated his life a number of weeks ago. So many things could talk about David Varner. There's one thing that I have feasted on over these last weeks. It's when his family was talking about his life. They quoted something that happened to David late in his life, over the last handful of years, where he was involved in a ministry in Columbus, Georgia, Easter Seals. Now, David, if you knew David, David was involved with so many different organizations throughout his life. But before the accident, after the accident, I mean, there could be many organizations that we look at. But his daughter said this that is just, I cannot get out of my mind. David, when talking about his involvement with Easter Seals, because his daughters asked him, and he described it this way. He said, that place, that mission has grabbed hold of my heart and it won't let go. And so for the years that I'm going to be around, I'm going to be a part of this ministry. That's sacrificial giving. It's about giving a life for something larger than yourself. And so when we do that in our community, if it's with one person, that's fine, so be it. If it's with a group of people or maybe your neighbor or a larger family or whatever it may be, or maybe it's tied to an existing organization that wants to be a gospel footprint in the world. Doesn't matter. It's that you give in a way that is different than everybody else, and that becomes a witness for Christ. And so the idea of sacrificial giving. Another one is what you do with time. Sanctify time. And the idea there is that there is no secret formula to cultivating a pure heart. The way you cultivate a pure heart is you give to Jesus time and energy. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been preaching this for a long time, and I wish with all my heart I could say, here, just come up here and push this button, and if you do it, then it's instantly going to happen. It does not work that way. But the way it does work is you feed it with time and energy, which means things like personal devotion can't get there without it. I mean, people come up to me all the time and they say, well, Shane, you know, what would it take for revival to take place? Or what would it take for reform to take place? It's time and energy. If you want to change something about your life when it comes to Jesus with your faith, it's time and energy. Take the Bible. No show of hands. If you're at home, listen, you can raise your hand because nobody's going to see you. I mean, do you read it? I mean, seriously, I bet we have 15, everybody in here has at least 15 Bibles at home. If you don't have one, take one that's in the pew. That's why we bought them. Yeah, actually, we wanted people to take them, and then when they're all gone, we're going to buy some more. Give them to somebody else. But I mean, do you give it time and energy? The Scripture is a record of people who have been following God for centuries. And so part of it is we learn from them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It takes another person's life, even if it's recorded on the page. And from that, we engage the Spirit. So it makes application in our own life. So then the Bible becomes the difference for us, like we want to be the difference for another person. What about prayer? I mean, the average churchgoer prays less than 3 minutes a day. That's sad. You know what I've been thinking about? If we really want to see something change in our life or see maybe revival or reform that takes place in our community, what if we were to give time and energy to Jesus 1/100th of the time we spend on TikTok or Facebook or Instagram. Try it. This is the formula. And so you are the master of your own house, which means you are the master of your own calendar. You determine what goes on your calendar. You determine how you spend your time. You determine how you spend your energy. I determine how I spend my time and my energy. And if I want to see God move in my life, I have to sanctify my time. I have to give it. I have to feed it. And so if you want to be the difference for another person, at some point you're going to have to face this and sanctify time. And then the last one is sacramental living. You know what sacraments are? Sacraments are physical objects that have been blessed or have been set aside to represent the grace of God. Now, we have some sacraments in our church. They're a physical object that stands for the mystery of God's grace and how that's applied to a person's life. Well, what if your life became the sacrament when you leave this place, where you lived as a follower of Christ, and to a point that people would say a year from now, well, you know, I can't tell you everything that Shane's been doing, or I can't tell you everything that so-and-so's been doing, but I do know this. They're a follower. I've been watching them for over a year. I've been listening to what they say and how they act. And they might be a lot of things, but I know one thing from what I observed. They're a follower. Sacramental living. We don't live in enclaves where we build a wall and we say, okay, you know, this is who I am, this is who we are, and we belong to Jesus, and we're the wall's up, and we're not, and everybody else, you know, if they want to come and be a part of this, that's fine, but it's up to them. No, we go out to be the witness because we're salt and light. And you have been given the gospel of Jesus Christ for your own salvation and for the purpose of being a witness. And so we choose, out of our sense of freedom, out of our sense of self, to live and to be different and to be distinct in the community around us. That can be at your work, it can be in your marriage, your family, friend groups, an organization that you're a part of. It's just that we go out as salt and light. We are responsible to the mission of Jesus Christ. Not responsible for it. That's up to Jesus. But we're responsible to it. And so we live distinctively. Salt and light. So may it be for you. Let's pray. Lord, we read and we listen to this sermon that Jesus preached. And the call is to experience, for you to have your way through your Spirit. And then we are to take what we have experienced into the world around us. And so help us to live with sacrificial giving of ourselves and everything that makes us who we are. Help us, God, with our time. We want to sanctify it. We want it to be used. We want to feed this relationship that we have to the point that our nature becomes more like your nature. And we know that sometimes that means that there has to be change. Sometimes it means that how we think, how we speak, even how we act. And there's part of us that knows that without your help, it won't be possible. And so we give ourselves to you. And then we want our life to be a sacrament, to be an object that represents you in the world. I know for some of us, we feel like we're not good enough. We feel that we're not qualified. All that's required is just to be willing. There's a saying that we often say that you don't call the qualified, you qualify the called. And so we trust in that. Help us to hear your voice of change, of transformation, of grace. And all that we do, oh God, we pray. And we pray this in your name. Amen.